He's a good God, amen. A pastor told his church one Sunday morning that they were needing to raise extra money for the new building fund. He said, whoever gives the biggest donation today will get to come up front and pick out three hymns. And the offering plates were passed. The deacons took the plates to the back. They counted the offering. They brought word to the pastor of who had given the biggest donation that day. The pastor was pleased to call this elderly widow lady to the front. And as she came forward, she had the biggest smile on her face. He thanked her for her generosity to the building fund, and he said, now, just as I promised you, you get to pick out three hymns. And she looked around the congregation, and she said, I'll take him and him and him. Gary, I don't know if maybe we found a new way to raise money for the building program. Sunday morning church was over. This fella gets into his car with the family to drive home. He immediately starts complaining about everything. The sermon was too long. The drums were too loud. The songs that were chosen were not the right songs. We stood too long during the song service. The temperature in the auditorium was too cold. The people were unfriendly. He went on and on complaining about everything, whereas his middle school son in the back seat finally stopped him. He interrupted him and said, Dad, you have to admit, it wasn't a bad show for a dollar. I got one more for you. It was after church one Sunday. Little boy walks up to the preacher. He says to him, when I grow up, I'm going to give you some money. Well, thank you, son, the preacher said. But why would you say that? Because my daddy says you are the poorest preacher we have ever had. You know, it's good to laugh together, isn't it? And now we're going to talk about money. Last Sunday, I began a series of sermons on giving. It may have surprised you to hear me say towards the end of that sermon that tithing is not taught in the New Testament. Jesus commended the Pharisees for tithing. It's probably the only time that he commended them for anything. He said, you're doing the right thing to tithe of what you have coming in, but you have neglected the more important things of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. He said, you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. And so Jesus commended the tithe, but he did not command the tithe, nor do the rest of the writers of the New Testament. The rule for giving in the New Testament is different from what it was in the Old Testament. As I preach this sermon on giving, and in fact this series of three sermons, last Sunday, today, and next week, please understand that the preacher is not trying to get into your pocketbook. That's not what is happening at all. What I'm most interested in is your heart being all for Jesus. And if you are going to have your heart all for Jesus, then he must have your pocketbook too. Do you hear that? If he's to have all of your heart, then he has to have you surrendering your pocketbook to him as well. And there's no getting around that. And it is my responsibility to tell you that. If I shirk that responsibility, then I am not telling you the whole truth of God. And I don't think you want to have a preacher standing up here and preaching to you and not sharing with you the whole truth of God. Jesus said it this way, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. And then over in Luke 14, 33, he says, then, any of you who does not give up everything that he has cannot be my disciple. You see, our giving is an indicator of where our heart is. If we have an open hand to Jesus, then it is an indication that our heart is with him. If we have a closed hand towards Jesus, and meaning we're stingy with our giving to him, then that too is an indication of where our heart is. And so, with this series, I'm simply challenging you in your discipleship to Jesus. I'm challenging you to go deeper in your walk with Jesus and to make your heart fully his. Last Sunday after the sermon, I was there in the lobby and Austin Black caught me and he said, hey, are you going to talk in this series to the one who is new in the faith and even the non-Christian about this concept of giving? And I said, hey, Austin, that's a good idea. That's a real good idea. And so for just a moment, let me address that topic. Some of you may be brand new Christians. Some of you, maybe, not a Christian yet. Some of you didn't grow up in the church. You've not had this kind of teaching to you. Please understand, this is a part of following Jesus, simply because, as I said earlier, he's wanting our whole heart. And wherever our money is, our heart's going to follow after our money. And yes, it takes faith to step out and to start giving to Jesus. And a lot of us are tight in our money. A lot of us just don't feel like we have extra. And so I'll say to you, in that situation, it takes a lot of faith to let go of that money and give to Jesus. Knowing, remember, you're not just giving to the church. You're not just helping pay my salary or Elijah or Haley's salary. But you're giving to the church, which is then dispensing that money for the work of the kingdom. You're helping grow the kingdom. Not just locally, but abroad. We support missionaries abroad, as well as missionaries right here locally and in our own country. But it does take faith. As I said to you in last week's sermon, if you take that step of faith, even though you may not feel like it, you take that step of faith, the Bible says that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing upon you until it overflows. He says, test me. Test me now in this. And I'm just challenging you. If you're kind of in that boat, can't hardly let go, don't know how it's going to happen, I'm challenging you to test God, because God's promise never, ever fails. And you'll find you cannot outgive God. Now, all of that being said, I want to read two passages of Scripture to you today. And that's where we're going to be spending our time. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 2. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. You see, they're talking about the church at Jerusalem. The saints at Jerusalem need some help. They're in a bad way. And the churches out and about that Paul has established, he's challenging them to take up an offering for the saints at Jerusalem. Verse 2, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. Now, the second passage of Scripture that I want us to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 says this, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So what I want to do today is simply take some words from these passages of Scripture that should describe our giving. And the first word is this, personal. Our giving should be personal. And I'm sure you notice from these passages the emphasis upon each person doing their part in the grace of giving. The 1 Corinthians 16 passage said, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. The 2 Corinthians 9 passage said this, each man should give, or each one should give, depending on which translation you're reading from. It's a matter of personal responsibility. Just a few should not be carrying the bulk of the responsibility when it comes to giving. Rather, each one of us should be sharing the load. Now, that doesn't mean that we each are giving equal amounts. I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But we each are to be contributing. We each one should be helping with the support of God's work. I remember years ago, I decided it was time to sell the hot tub that we had had for quite a number of years. And thankfully, as I was wanting to sell the hot tub, there was somebody out there who wanted to buy a hot tub. So, he was happy. I was happy. And my wife Cindy was especially happy. Because when I bought that thing, I had this great idea that it should go inside of our rec room instead of outside. And it was a big hot tub. And I have to tell you, through the years, it really wasn't her kind of decoration for that room. And every once in a while, she'd say something like that, you know, that it was kind of a sore sight in her eyes. And finally, after years, the motor stopped working. And I thought, well, you know, it's time to sell the thing. So when the guy bought it, I said, hey, you know, the motor doesn't work. And he goes, I can fix that. So he's happy. I'm happy. she's happy, and if mama's happy, everybody is happy, right? But to get that thing out of our rec room was quite a challenge, because I'm guessing, I don't still have the material on that. I remember reading it when I bought it. It was one heavy piece. Over 500 pounds, I'm sure. And I may be tough. I tell my grandkids, I'm tough. Papa's tough, but I'm not that tough to get that 500 plus pound hot tub out of our rec room. And so I began to recruit some guys to help me. I think I had 7 guys around that hot tub, and it was manageable barely with 7 guys. But we got the job done. Out of the room, onto his trailer, and away he goes. My point is simply this. It was a whole lot easier with a group contributing to the work rather than one or two that couldn't have got the job done anyway. And in the Lord's work, it is the same. Hear me say this. It is His design for each person to do their part. Parents, let me talk to you for just a moment. Could I encourage you to be teaching your kids to give to Jesus? They'll learn best by your example. If they learn to give at a young age, then they will not have a problem with giving when they're older. My daughter Rebecca and her husband Luke, they're trying to teach their kids about giving to Jesus. Our building out here, this building project, it's a hefty price, yes. Luke and Rebecca's church are taking on a $20 million project at their place. And they are needing everybody to be helping and giving and contributing and doing their part to get that thing paid for. And they wanted to help their older 3 boys to learn about giving and to be feeling like they're having a part in this campaign at their church. And so they say, let's have a lemonade stand. And the 3 older boys, Judah and Cal and Wesley, they're the ones who are going to run this lemonade stand. Of course, Rebecca is the one who's helping make the lemonade and contributing the money behind the lemonade stand. But the boys are out there. They've made a sign, and they're out there flagging people down, wanting them to stop and buy a cup of lemonade. And they were having people stop, and their neighbor is a policeman, and he comes over and he gets a glass of lemonade, and he finds out what the money's going for, and he gets on the phone and he calls all of his police buddies in Plainfield, Indiana, and over the course of the day, I think probably every one of them stopped by to get lemonade and had a contribution to the lemonade stand, and they made $220 that day. Now, they didn't give it all. Rebecca and Luke said, you know, you learn to give a part of it. They gave $100, the first $100 of that $220 to Jesus and His church, and then the other $120 was divided up between the 3 of them. Some savings, some spending money. You know, it's good to teach our kids to give, to Jesus. I was talking with Luke, and he said there were several other kids in the church having that same desire. Their stories were coming back to him. One little girl was selling flowers and giving the proceeds to the church building fund. A middle schooler had said, I'm going to give up eating at Chick-fil-A. And I'm going to give all the money that I spend at Chick-fil-A, I'm going to give it to the Lord. And a couple of high schoolers were letting it be known, I'm going to tithe off of the job that I already have. Our giving is a personal thing. In other words, each one of us should be contributing to the work of the kingdom. I saw a statistic a while back. It's pretty heart-wrenching. It was of the Church Universal here, particularly in our country, 3% of church members tithe. And 50% give nothing. Now, I would hope that we could do better than that. I could hope that we could improve on that kind of statistic here at Reinhardt. The fact that our giving is a personal thing, that we all do our part, that we all contribute, that word also could mean something else, that it is a private thing. It's personal, not for everybody else to know what you're giving. Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He said, don't blow your trumpet to draw attention to what you're giving. It's a matter between you and God. And I tell you what, folks, that is why you will never have somebody from Reinhardt come knocking on your door and saying, you're not giving enough. Never happen. It will never happen. Because it's a personal thing. It's a private thing between you and God. When we give in private, the Lord will reward us. If we give to be seen by men, then the only reward that we're going to have is what praise we might receive from those who have seen us give. And that's not a very lasting reward. And so, as we're talking about our giving according to Scripture, it's a personal thing. Number two, our giving should be regular. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Notice everything I'm saying today is based on the Word of God. This, again, is not the preacher trying to get his message across to you. It's the preacher trying to deliver to you the message of God. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save. Now, I don't think that we should get too dogmatic and say, you have to give something every week. I'm guessing what Paul is stressing here is simply that we give regularly, that we give consistently. If weekly is good for you, that's great. If bi-weekly is good for you, that's what we do, Cindy and I, bi-weekly. If that's what works for you, that's great. Or monthly, whatever works for you. I don't know. Maybe some of our farmers give at harvest time. I don't know. I don't know what people give. But I'm thinking, you know, that would make sense. At harvest time, there would be a gift to God. Maybe you sell real estate, and it would be a very similar situation. When a piece of property is sold, then you give a gift to God. It's private, it's between you and Him, but I want to encourage you to be regular in your giving. And I think God has a reason for that. And this is just my thinking. If I'm trying to understand His message to us, if we don't give regularly, if we say, this is God's money here, and I'm going to set it aside, but, we don't give it. And, this is God's money, and I'm going to set it aside, and we're getting a pile over here of God's money, but we're not giving it regularly, and we're letting it stack up to us. You know what the temptation's going to be? We're going to run across something that we really want, or we think we need, and we're going to grab from God's money what's His. Or something will break down. And we all know that. I mean, we experience that all the time. Something's breaking down, and it's going to cost some money to repair that. And I don't have that. Here's this stack of money here. I need it. That's what can happen if we don't give regularly. It just works best to give regularly to God and get it out of our hands sooner rather than later. Let me give you a third point. Our giving should be systematic. Paul said we are to set aside and save. In other words, our giving should be planned. There should be some forethought to our giving. If I haven't planned my giving and the service is dismissed and I'm heading towards that back door and I know that pail is right there where the money goes in, if I have not planned my giving, I'm probably going to do one of two things. I'm going to go right past that pail with my money still in my pocket, or maybe I'm going to get my wallet out. I got people pushing behind me, and here's a couple ones, and I throw them in. And that's okay if that's what God has led you to do. But He's talking about the need to plan our giving. And if you have a spouse, certainly you should sit down with him or her and you all talk about that. You converse together. You pray about it together. And you decide what gift you're going to give to Jesus. And this fits very well with Scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:7, this time from the New Living Translation. It says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And again, there needs to be some planning, there needs to be some prayer, and there needs to be some Holy Spirit guidance. And if you're putting all of that together, it's going to be the right thing for you personally. I'll give you one final point. Our giving should be in proportion to what we make. Let me go back to 1 Corinthians 16:2. This is the New American Standard. It says, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper. Let me read it to you from the NIV. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. It's pretty clear. The more a person makes, the more he should give. The less a person makes, then likely that person will give less. And though the tithe is not commanded in the New Testament, I think it would be a good place to start. It's interesting to me in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus addressed a couple of topics where he actually raised the bar from what the law was in the Old Testament. The first was the subject of murder. Do you remember that? He says to his listeners, "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder.' But I say to you that everyone who becomes angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court." You see what Jesus did there? He did not lower the bar. He raised the bar. You could say it this way. He raised the standard. And he did the same thing with adultery. He said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." He did not lower the standard. He raised the standard. So, why would he do anything different with our giving? The Old Testament law under Moses was to give a tithe, 10%. Do you really think Jesus would lower the bar of giving under the new covenant? I can't think that he would. The command to give a tithe is removed, but a higher motivation is given in the New Testament, and it's the motivation of love. That he has done so much for me. He has given me so much. How could I not give back to him? We'll talk more about that concept next week. We'll look more in depth at that. And so I want to ask you as we close here, are you a giver? Is your hand open to Jesus or is it closed? And here's the sermon that will tell the tale, or here's the point that will tell the tale. The question, does this sermon encourage you to go deeper in your giving, or does it make you feel really, really uncomfortable? If it's the latter, then that's probably a sign that you need to surrender more of your heart and your pocketbook to Jesus. I love you. I really do. Hope you know that. Hope you can sense that, not just in my preaching today, but every day, that I really love you. And therefore, and because I love him, I must preach the truth to you. Let's pray.